Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome again, ladies and gents, to the second episode of the Patriot Report, airing on WBCQ in Maine Shortwave Radio there. So I thank them for having my show on. This is your host with the most, Matt Boland. They call me Matty B sometimes. With the Patriot Report, this episode recorded at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time, January 18th, Friday, January 18th, 2019. Got a few interesting things to talk about. We're going to talk about some state governments, top stories, and also this date in U.S. history and our Constitutional College. But let's get right into it. Got a short weekly rant for you this week, not too long. The federal shutdown keeps on keeping on, doesn't it? Now in its 27th day as of today, January 18th, I thought the president actually pulled off a pretty smooth move yesterday. Nancy Pelosi says she's going to get on her military flight to go overseas. I think it was to the Middle East or something. Trump's like, nah, I don't think so. Fly commercial if you really want to go over there. You're grounded. Nice move, Mr. President. I'm liking it anyway. Pretty bad, I mean, pretty intense there. So Nancy Pelosi doesn't get her military flight anyway. 27 days now in the federal shutdown, and that makes it the longest shutdown in U.S. history. The previous record was held by a 21-day shutdown in the Bill Clinton era. This was December 1995 to January 1996. We've passed that now by almost a week. I wonder where it's going to end. And I actually proposed something a little bit interesting the other day. I don't know if people agree with this, but it seems to me that Democrats are take most of the blame for this shutdown. So here's a proposal for President Trump. Charge, like, fine each Democratic member of Congress about $3 a day. As of yesterday, for how long the shutdown has gone so far. As of yesterday, that would have been $76 per day per Democratic member. Now it'll be like, I think $79 bucks. But they could get some money from the Democrats on this one, because being that there's 235 Democrats in Congress, I'm not sure of the exact number, 235, yeah. Even on yesterday's total, $78 per Democratic representative times 235 members of the House Democrats, that would equal $18,330 as of yesterday. So I think that's something that the president should consider to shut down, to end the shutdown. And yes, you can give the credit to Matt Boland of Connecticut on that one. I mean, you hit the wallets, watch as they come to the table, PDQ, and that's pretty damn quick. So that's my rant. Let's get this shutdown done. Let's get back to work here. That's a long time for people to not be doing anything. Anyway, the guest call-in line today is 323-870-4079. 323-870-4079. And as Bill O'Reilly would say, name in town, name in town, name in town if you wish to opine. Thank you, Bill. Now, coming up, we've got a couple of interesting things for you. State dispatches this week. Got a few brief news items from various state governments. But before we do that, we're going to go into our interview segment of the week. Actually, don't have one for this week in particular, but we'll replay last week's interview with Sarah Henry, spokesperson for the American Humanist Association, on their opposition to a World War I Peace Cross in Bladensburg, Maryland. Had a good talk with her last week. We'll play that as soon as I can find it. I'm sorry, I didn't download it. Oh, there we go. We'll play that right about now, about 6 minutes and 32 seconds in length, and we'll be right back. Again, the call-in number, 323-870-4079. That's 323-870-4079. Talk to you in about 6 minutes. And welcome back to the Patriot Report. We're talking with Sarah Henry, spokesperson for the American Humanist Association in D.C. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Now, tell me briefly just a little bit about what the American Humanist Association does.
Sure. So we're a nonprofit headquartered here in D.C. We advocate for progressive values and equality specifically for non-religious communities in the country, so humanists, atheists, and freethinkers. We have a couple of different departments. We do some education work, some legal work, and some legislative work as well.
Okay. Now, I wanted to talk about this thing around the Peace Cross. As you know, the Peace Cross is a memorial to World War I veterans, I think, in Bladensburg, Maryland. It's in the shape of a cross, and the town does the maintenance on it. So why have you brought legal action against the town here of Bladensburg, Maryland?
Sure. So we chose to bring legal action against Bladensburg because the memorial is in violation of the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment of the Constitution, which does, you know, prohibit the establishment of religion and protects the constitutional mandate of separation between church and state. So our plaintiffs, who are local residents, brought the case because the cross does endorse Christianity and appears as though the government of Bladensburg and Maryland is also endorsing that Christian action.
So basically, you're saying it endorses Christianity.
Yeah, a large Christian cross, and it is owned, maintained, and displayed by the local government, and so it does have the effect of advancing and endorsing Christianity.
Just to play devil's advocate here, some would say it's just a memorial to the veterans. What do you say in reply to them?
Sure, and actually, I think we're very committed to ensuring that we do honor all veterans. One thing about this cross is that it was actually rededicated in 1985 and meant to honor all veterans of all wars, according to the commission at that time. And we feel that a Christian cross simply does not honor all veterans of all wars. I mean, we know that there are veterans and active service members of a vast, vast spectrum of religious faiths, many of whom do not feel represented or honored by a cross.
I heard you won a big victory in the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. I guess that's the D.C. area.
We did.
Richmond, Virginia, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So we won at that level, and the court declined to hear it en banc, and that was the point that the American Legion petitioned the Supreme Court.
And they're going to hear the case. What's going on with the case right now?
Yeah, so right now we're looking forward to oral arguments, which will be held on February 27th at the court here in D.C., where our opponents, the American Legion and the Maryland National Park and Planning Commission, filed their briefs in the case around the holiday, although the exact date is escaping me, and then we will be filing our response briefs in late January.
I'm no legal, but I'll be watching this case pretty closely. It seems interesting.
Yeah, I think all of the briefs have been interesting. It's such a important issue. Obviously, the separation between church and state and religious liberty is something that affects us all. And so I think even for people who are not especially inclined to read lengthy legal documents, the briefs are, you know, available online, and they are pretty interesting.
I think what's at issue here is what exactly is a government endorsement of religion. So that's what you're talking about.
Right. So we're talking about government endorsing religion, and this cross does so when the case was brought, we noted that maintenance of the monument has already cost the government $117,000 in taxpayer funds, and at this point, the government has also earmarked an additional $100,000 for further repairs to the cross and to the area. Besides the fact that they're using taxpayer money to pay for a symbol that is only representative of one faith, the cross is massive, and it sits in the middle of a highway sort of intersection, so it's clear that it's government property, given, you know, that highways are government property, and
yeah.
It really sort of overwhelms the city of Bladensburg.
So it's a big thing there. It's like 40 feet high or something.
Yeah, it is 40 feet tall.
That's a big one. I wonder, would you be taking the same kind of legal action if the memorial was, like, say, in the shape of a Star of David? As you know, that's one of the main symbols of Judaism.
Right. So any symbol, any governmental favoritism towards one religion over another, or the vast spectrum of other religions, is blatantly unconstitutional, and we would oppose something that didn't represent the service of all veterans, yes.
So you'd oppose it in that case, too. So if people want to get in touch with the American Humanist Association, on the issues or whatever else, what should they do? Where can they go?
Sure. So we love hearing from the community. You can reach us online at AmericanHumanist.org. Super simple. And you can learn more about our actions there. And you can also email us at AHA@AmericanHumanist.org. And we're happy to answer questions, respond to complaints in your area, anything we can do.
Well, this interview went pretty quickly. Thanks a lot. Sarah Henry, spokesperson for the American Humanist Association just outside of D.C. Thank you very much for being on the show today, Sarah.
Thanks again. Have a great one.
And that was Sarah Evans, a spokesperson for the American Humanist Association, on some of the legal issues surrounding the Bladensburg, Maryland Peace Cross and what the American Humanist Association is doing about it. There's a big case right now in the Supreme Court of the United States. We'll be watching that closely.
And we're back live on the Patriot Report, January 18th. Hello, everybody. 3:42 p.m. here on the East Coast. This is Matt Boland, your host with the most. Rhyming on a lot today. Anyway, that was my chat from last week with Sarah Henry, spokesperson for the American Humanist Association. And you heard her talk about their opposition to a World War I peace cross in Bladensburg, Maryland. And next up, we're going to have some reports from state governments. But I wanted to mention what I have down here as my question of the week. And by the way, chat's open if you go to my Blog Talk Radio page of the Patriot Report. You can find a live chat going on right now with us in the Patriot Report chat room on Blog Talk Radio. Also, would love to hear your opinions at 323-870-4079 if you're listening. 323-870-4079. And so, let's get some opinions on this one. Question of the week. A lot of talk regarding the border right now. My question is, should President Trump declare a national emergency regarding border security? And if he did that, would that action be as Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution defines it, necessary and proper? Do you think it's a necessary and proper action for the president to declare a national emergency regarding border security? So, Come on in. Get your thoughts out. 323-870-4079. 323-870-4079. Or in the Patriot Report chat on Blog Talk Radio. Or you can message me right now on Facebook. All three ways work. But 323-870-4079. And right now, here's our state dispatches. State dispatches, easy for me to say. Some news items from various state governments. First, we'll start down in Florida, where the we've been calling him the Coward of Broward. He's gone, man. Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel has been suspended, a.k.a. fired, by new Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Israel says he will fight the suspension and that he, quote, served honorably. Okay, whatever floats your boat.
You big dummy!
Anyway, my question to Florida is, what took you so long? Parkland was like 2 years ago, wasn't it? Anyway, we have a new sheriff down in Broward County appointed by the governor, Sergeant Gregory Tony of Coral Springs, I think, or Coral Beach. Coral something down there. Has just been appointed by Governor DeSantis as the new sheriff of Broward County. We'll see where this one goes. My source for that being the Miami Herald in Miami, Florida. From California, I call it news we don't want any. On the 10th of this month, the 10th of January, well, CNN asked a San Diego news station, KUSI, in San Diego, California, to give them a San Diego-based perspective on the border wall debate and if the border walls work. Well, CNN figured out that this KUSI station had made past reports praising authorities and praising efforts to erect border walls. They didn't like that, so they pulled their story proposal. I guess they didn't really want to hear from the people of San Diego after all. At least not if it was, not if the report was going to be for Trump. My source on that one being KUSI News in San Diego and various other media outlets. And I guess CNN was looking for something they could bounce on. Not getting that here. Well, the 89th governor of Connecticut, Ned Lamont, was just sworn in on the 9th of January. My nickname for him, tell me if you like this one, is Lamont the Lame. Oh, and by the way,
this is a trigger warning. If you are psychologically fragile, please move away from your viewing or listening device and into your safe space.
Run for cover.
Better run for cover. It's going to get intense. But anyway, the new governor of Connecticut, Ned Lamont, giving the state of the state speech here in Connecticut. Here are some highlights, or in this case, lowlights. Well, Governor Lamont, talking to state legislatures, tells them to fix this damn budget. Quote, fix this damn budget. Easy to say, hard to do. Think creatively, he says. Think creatively. Okay, no comment on that one. He also proposed a $15 per hour minimum wage. Sorry about the stuttering there. $15 per hour minimum wage in the state of Connecticut. So, as usual, it's a lot of talk from the Democrats, but the same old tired ideas.
Yadda yadda yadda. Yadda yadda yadda. Yadda yadda yadda.
Shut up!
really. Same old stuff from the Democratic Party here in Connecticut. Well, you vote for Democrats, you get the same old thing. At least here you do. And so I don't even know what you think about these stories, the border wall debate, and CNN telling their story down in San Diego. New sheriff for Broward County in Florida. And same old in Connecticut. Oh, fix the damn budget, but I want a $12 an hour minimum wage.
Yadda, yadda, yadda. Yadda, yadda, yadda. Yadda, yadda, yadda. Shut
up! But moving right along, I think we're going to do the Constitutional College segment next. But let me pose my question of the week again for you. I want to know, what do you think on this? As I said, the phone number is 323-870-4079. If you're listening, 323-870-4079. And the question this week is, should President Trump declare a national emergency regarding border security? And if he did that, would that action be, as the Constitution says, necessary and proper? What do you think? 323-870-4079. 323-870-4079. Also, we have the chat up on Blog Talk Radio at the Patriot Report. Or you can message me on Facebook under Matt Boland. Facebook, Matt Boland. So any of those three ways work. And let's talk about the Constitution for a minute as we go into Constitutional College. I'm about to take you to school, people. It's the Constitutional College right here on the Patriot Report. Today we're going to discuss the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution as soon as I get it from my hard drive, my notes here. We've been having a good conversation so far. Trying to check out where this might be, so bear with me just for a second, people. It helps to be a little bit more prepared before you start the show, right? Should be on my hard drive. There we go. Sorry about that, people, but here's a discussion of the Fourth Amendment. If you don't know, that amendment covers search and seizure procedures by law enforcement. And let's just talk about this for a few minutes. The text of the amendment reads, "The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized." Well, what's that mean, you're asking me? Here's what I'm going up on it. The first point is, if police or law enforcement wish to search someone's person or their property, then in most cases they have to obtain a warrant first. And such warrant must include a sworn statement about who and what the police expect to find and what areas are intended to be searched. It's got to be signed by a judge. And what you can do with a warrant, you have the right to inspect any warrant that has been presented to you and to tell police in the absence of a warrant to come back with one. Get a warrant and come back and see me. kind of paraphrasing Jim Calhoun there, but anyway. But that's only in the case of a warrantless search that does not have probable cause. And probable cause, the legal definition is reasonable suspicion that a crime has or is being committed.
So if we have suspicion that something's going on and that a crime's been committed,
they could search you whether or not you consent. But without that probable cause and without a warrant, you have to consent to their search in order for them to search. Now, there's special considerations on that regarding people that rent places. If the owner of a property gives that consent to search, even if you, the renter, object, the property may be searched. That they've obtained consent from the owner of the property. So keep that in mind if you rent someplace. And like I said, in the absence of a warrant, they have to police have to ask for consent to search, or they must have that probable cause. And that consent may be denied and withdrawn at any time. The police are always like, around here, well, you have to let us search the building. You don't have to give permission to them to search your person or your property. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to. And a quick legal tip for you. Not that I would know, but not that I would know firsthand, but a quick legal tip for all you people out there. Now, I don't claim to be a attorney or anything. This is just amateur legal advice. But my legal tip here is, if you get confronted by police officers, don't give them any more information than is absolutely necessary. In most cases, they aren't paid to be your friends. They're paid to throw you in jail. They're police officers are paid to throw you into a jail cell and leave you there for a while. So what should you do when police confront you? Shut your trap.
Do yourself a favor and shut the hell up.
Indeed, Stone Cold Steve Austin. See if I have my arm.
Shut up!
Just don't. You do have to say, if you're gonna be silent, you do have to tell the police you're gonna be silent. That was an interesting Supreme Court ruling a few years ago. But you really don't have to talk to them if you don't want to. So.
Shut up!
Thank you, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And so that's my brief of the Fourth Amendment search and seizure. And if anybody has comments on that, of course, you know what to do. Call 323-870-4079. 323-870-4079. I think we've got about maybe 28 minutes left in today's show. We've been talking today about the Fourth Amendment. Just took you to school with Constitutional College, which I'm probably going to do once every couple of weeks, every other show. And we were talking about some news from various state governments. Down in Florida, Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel is gone. He's out of here. Sergeant Gregory Tony of Coral Beach has been appointed as the new Broward County Sheriff by the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis. CNN looking to support their opinion that border walls aren't needed and we have no security issue on the southern border. They were trying to talk to a news station out of San Diego the other day, KUSI, but when they heard an opinion that was other than their own, they backed away a little bit. So, news? What news? We don't want any news. Just fake news. And here in my home state of Connecticut, Lamont the Lame, Governor Ned Lamont, sworn in as the 89th governor of Connecticut. He's telling state legislators to expand budget and think creatively. But at the same time, he proposes a $15 per hour minimum wage, which isn't sustainable by any means, I'd say. So, same old thing for the Democrats in Connecticut.
Yadda yadda yadda. Yadda yadda yadda. Yadda yadda yadda.
Shut up!
So that's what we've been talking about today. Also did a little constitutional college, my weekly rant, and replayed the interview with Sarah Henry of the American Humanist Association from last week. Oh, and I have to mention again the question of the week. Should President Trump declare a national emergency regarding border security? And would that action be, as the Constitution says, necessary and proper? Want to hear what you have to say? 323-870-4079. That's 323-870-4079. Next up, I think we're going to go into a little comic relief. Not a big amount of comic relief right now in that I have down here, but of course we'll go into our dimwit of the week. Cue that Benny Hill theme song. So who is the dimwit of the week this week? Who acted or said something that made them sound like a total idiot?
You big dummy!
Well, this week we have a couple of nominees. Not to mention old Nancy Pelosi in Washington, D.C. But I think this week I'm going to go with reporter Chris Hansen. Crime reporter Chris Hansen, you may know him from NBC's To Catch a Predator series. Well, it seems that Mr. Hansen has run into a little trouble with the law himself. He's been accused of allegedly bouncing several checks. Of course, writing the old bad checks. He doesn't have money in the bank, so they bounce. Anyway, he's been accused of writing several bad checks. Something like $14,000 in bad checks. So he's going to get my Dimwit of the Week award this week. And yes, he has been charged now with larceny in the city of Stamford, Connecticut, not too far from where I am. But Mr. Hansen, I award you the second weekly Dimwit of the Week award. Wow, that was pretty bad. Well, I don't think that quite works. So you're the Dimwit of the Week. Congratulations. Anyway, I think what I'm going to do now is talk about things that happened this date in U.S. history. Not exactly this date, but I won't be doing another show before this date comes up. Let's talk about January 22nd, 1973. On the date of January 22nd, 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in the case of Roe versus Wade that abortion is legal in the United States. They legalized abortion on January 22nd, 1973. Would rank that as one of the total worst decisions in Supreme Court history. It kicked off what I call the American Holocaust. Millions of innocent lives have been taken due to abortion, and it's got to end. And if you don't like what I'm saying about the old abortion thing. If you don't like my comments here, well...
Get off my phone, you little pinhead!
As I said, I call him like I see him.
This is a trigger warning. If you are psychologically fragile, please move away from your viewing or listening device and into your safe space.
Run for cover!
Free speech is a great thing. So if you're offended, turn the station or turn the darn thing off. That's what I have to say. So having said that about Roe v. Wade, I think the other big-time decision that was really, really bad, I'd put it number two on my list, and number three being the decision in the eminent domain case, Kelo versus City of New London, New London, Connecticut. And in that one, dropped my phone. It's still on? I think so. And in the eminent domain case, Kelo versus City of New London, Connecticut, basically the justices decided that if the government wants to take your private property for public use, they don't have to compensate you anymore. The Constitution says otherwise, but the justices thought they knew better, apparently.
You big dummy!
And like I was saying, number two on my list would be the Dred Scott case, which was back in 1857. Justices held back then that blacks were not American citizens. Yup, there was a time when we did not consider people of the black race American citizens.
You big dummy!
And number one, taking the cake, in my opinion, for the worst decision in Supreme Court history, was this decision, Roe versus Wade. Where basically, they're saying abortion's okay, you don't have a right to life. So a big boo from me on that one.
I think that raises a pertinent question. What's that? Why did they do it?
There you hear Statler and Waldorf from The Muppet Show. I like those guys. They always have something interesting to say, like this.
I think that raises a pertinent question. What's that? Why did they do it?
Why did they do it? So that's our This Date in U.S. History. A national emergency regarding border security. Is that action necessary and proper? 323-870-4079. Maybe 16-17 minutes left in the show, so you still have time to call up and get anything off your chest that you want to. 323-870-4079. And recapping our constitutional college, I took you to school and discussed the Fourth Amendment. And our dimwit of the week, reporter Chris Hansen, formerly of NBC's To Catch a Predator, for allegedly writing several bad checks in Connecticut, about $14,000 in bad checks. Let's look at what's going on right now in Washington and political scene. I'm just talking about the right to life and abortion and the whole Roe versus Wade decision that the Supreme Court made. So I was talking about that a little bit.
I think that raises a pertinent question. What's that? Why did they do it?
Well, right now we've got something interesting going on in D.C. It's the 46th annual March for Life rally in Washington, D.C. 46th annual March for Life rally. I guess they're having a bunch of conservative speakers and a rally and a whole walk and everything in D.C. right now. I guess they do that every year. But that's something going on in D.C. Some breaking news for you. President Donald Trump is once again going to meet with Kim Jong-un of North Korea. I was calling him last year Kim Jong Jackass, but sorry if you're triggered, people.
This is a trigger warning. If you are psychologically fragile, please move away from your viewing or listening device and into your safe space.
Run for cover!
Anyway, there's going to be a second nuclear summit between the two, and that will take place sometime next month, near the end of February. The White House says in a statement, the president looks forward to meeting with Kim and Kim at a place to be announced at a later date. So that's cool, in my opinion. I mean, I don't know if North Korea is genuine on what they're saying. Nobody really knows, except Kim Jong, whatever his name is, himself. But these talks are a step in the right direction, definitely. And who would have thought, like 10, 20 years ago, even in the 80s, that the leader of North Korea could come to the table and talk to United States president? It's a wonderful thing, in my opinion. And, you know, the Democrats could take a bit of a lesson from Kim Jong-un. You want something to happen, you want something not to happen, but you want to get out of a tough situation, come to the table and talk to us about it.
Yadda yadda yadda. Yadda yadda yadda. Yadda yadda yadda.
Shut up!
Well, not shut up, but let's talk about it. Let's be civil. Instead of just saying nothing at all. So that's one of the things going on. Let's see, what else do we have breaking right now? Not too much breaking. If you like football, Gladys Knight is going to sing the national anthem at the Super Bowl. I probably won't be tuning in. With the whole taking knees thing, it just seems like a bunch of overpaid athletes doing their thing, which is okay for them to do their thing, but I could do without it, you know? What else do we have? Not too much today. One story I want to talk about.
The Republicans are doing their thing on Capitol Hill.
Check this out. Trump's campaign, his reelection campaign anyway, which started already, I guess, just said they're going to send some fake red bricks to the office of Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer until they agree to fund a border wall. Wow, nice going on that one. That's pretty cool, or hot, or whatever you want to say. I think that's a cool move. They're totally trolling the Democrats, who are basically saying,
do yourself a favor and shut the hell up.
Yeah, I don't think so. But they're going to send some fake red bricks. Hey, let's build this. and to raise money, the Trump campaign is asking donors to chip in $20.20 for each fake brick, which will be sent to the Democratic congressional leaders amid the fight that underlies the extended partial government shutdown, says Fox News. And Brad Parscale, the campaign manager for Donald Trump, says, we'll send the wall to them, brick by brick. Interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, that's your troll of the week. Okay, how much longer do we have here? About 10 minutes. So we'll go over what we were talking about. 323-870-4079 is the phone number here. We'll go a few more minutes. 323-870-4079. Not last call yet for phone calls, but almost the last call. Second to last call, we'll say. And so, recapping some state stories from the Miami Herald. They say the coward of Broward is gone goodbye. Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel has been fired by new governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis. And Mr. Israel says he will fight the suspension and that he served honorably. What took you so long, Florida? Should have had that done a year ago. Sergeant Gregory Tony of Coral Beach has been appointed as the new sheriff of Broward County for the moment. And from my neck of the woods, Connecticut, I actually have a couple stories. My hometown just promoted someone to the level of chief. Just wanted to give him a shout out. Sergeant Christopher Liddy, promoted now to chief of police in Fairfield, Connecticut. Nice job. Way to go. Congratulations. And the other big story in Connecticut, the 89th governor of Connecticut, Lamont the Lame, Ned Lamont, has just been sworn in. And he says to state legislatures, think creatively and fix this damn budget. But then he proposes a $15 per hour minimum wage in the state. And those tolls still look like they might be coming, people, so speak out if you don't want them. But it's the same old thing from the Democrats. As usual in Connecticut, it's just this.
Yadda yadda yadda. Yadda yadda yadda. Yadda yadda yadda.
Shut up!
Same old thing. Stop talking and do something different. Do something you haven't done in a while. Like maybe create a sound budget. The state in U.S. history coming up after my story about California. In the San Diego news station KUSI was asked by CNN to give them a local perspective, a San Diego-based perspective on the border wall debate and if those border walls work. CNN figured out that KUSI was pretty much praising the border walls, and they said, I don't think so. Guess they didn't want to hear from them after all. Censorship for the win, right? Question of the week is still out there. Should President Trump declare a national emergency regarding border security, and is that action necessary and proper? Also went over this date in U.S. history as we wrap up here. We'll do about, I think, 5 more minutes of the show. I should have that sound somewhere, but I don't. But in about 5 minutes, Elvis is going to leave the building over
here. Do yourself a favor and shut the hell up.
So if you want to call and talk about anything we've been talking about today, 323-870-4079, my friends on Facebook can message me at Matt Boland, MattBoland, MattBoland. It's about 4:20 p.m. on January 18th, Friday, January 18th, 2019. Next week's show, we'll be talking about more
State and Federal News, and we'll have an interview with, I'm not sure who yet, but
we'll get a top story in there and do an interview next week. Didn't really have a interview that I conducted this week, but I did talk to Sarah Henry of the American Humanist Association on last week's show, and that was a good conversation with them, Miss Henry. And so we ran that in the early part of the show. Well, as you know, this is now the longest shutdown in U.S. history. You might not know that, but now you do. The previous record was held by a 21-day shutdown from December 1995, I think mid-December. Well, December 1995 to January 1996. Bill Clinton and Company. Excuse me. So this shutdown has now gone for 27 days, and soon enough, 28. So when do you think this is going to end? I don't know. I see at least a week, maybe a week and a half more of this government shutdown. So I would say maybe 38 days. A week from now would be 34 days. 34 to 40 days, I'm saying. It might come to a
deal at that point, but I really don't see it coming, I guess. Both sides are so incredibly dug in.
They seem to be there for the long haul, and that's not a good thing. Let's get back to work.
You big dummy!
Again, I talked about the anniversary of Roe versus Wade.
I think that raises a pertinent question. What's that? Why did they do it?
Got about 3 or 4 minutes left in the show. If you want to talk to me about that, 323-870-4079. Let's quote Bill O'Reilly again. Name in town, name in town, name in town if you wish to opine. Also got the chat still open if you want to go in there on the Patriot Report. Blog Talk Radio. Hello to everybody listening on Blog Talk Radio. Only got a couple minutes, so you better get your comments in now at 323-870-4079. We were discussing church and seizure, the Fourth Amendment. What does it say? What rights do you have? And we awarded our Dimwit of the Week award. Crime reporter Chris Hansen, formerly of the NBC show To Catch a Predator, ran into a little trouble himself, didn't you, Mr. Hansen? Bouncing several checks in the total amount of $14,000, allegedly. Been charged with larceny in the city of Stamford, Connecticut. Bouncing those checks. So that's what we've been discussing today. And Elvis is about to leave the building here, like I said. I should have that sound somewhere, but I don't. So we'll hear from Stone Cold Steve Austin instead.
Do yourself a favor and shut the hell up.
Want to thank everybody for listening today. As I said, this is going to air tonight on WBCQ Shortwave Radio out of Monticello, Maine. Hello to Alan and everybody else up there. And so we'll be airing this show on WBCQ at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. 9 p.m. Eastern Time to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, which if you're on Greenwich Mean Time or what they call Coordinated Universal Time, that's going to be 0200 to 0300 GMT. And so hopefully you'll tune in then, and you'll hear us on the old shortwave radio, the home of free speech, WBCQ Shortwave Radio. Check us out, tune us in. So until next week, we're shutting down the phone line.